At RCR, we're on a mission to revive honest media, to report on critical censored stories, and to hold those in positions of power to account. But to make this happen, RCR needs to grow, and grow fast. For that, we need your support. Our Foundation Members Club is now open. Join us today and play your part in bringing back media you can trust. Learn more at www.realitycheck.radio/members and see how you can join the mission that's making a difference.
Nearly a month ago, you might remember, we had a chat with journalist Yvonne Van Dongen, and that was about her article, her piece about the charity industrial complex, and that got quite a bit of interest, and we got quite a bit of feedback on that to 2057 and inbox at realitycheck.radio. Yvonne is back with us again. Welcome back, Yvonne. Nice to have you.
Lovely to be here, Paul. Thanks for asking.
Anything more on the charity industrial complex?
I've got a story that's about to go up on, it's called The Charity of Me, how anyone can become a charity, because if they're not going to close the loopholes, then all you have to do is you set up, you have a business, and then you have you set up a charter, a charity with a charter in it, as it has to be for religious or educational or other purposes, and then you can avoid income tax. You still have to pay PAYE, but you can avoid income tax. And so you can be competing with someone else, in the market, but you have got this tax advantage. The only people that have come out, the only party that's come out is ACT, saying they want to close the loophole.
Yeah.
But I haven't been able to get anything from
them. Why would they want to close that loophole? That sounds like a libertarian kind of a rational, creative idea.
It's tax equity. It's equity. We've got, it's got to be fair, doesn't it?
And well, then everybody can be a charity, and then it is fair.
Yes. But it's probably that people won't do that, so they want tax equity.
I feel like
a charity. For me, that makes sense.
Sometimes I feel like a charity case. I think it qualifies.
Yeah.
All right. Let's once that's come out, maybe we'll come back and chat about that, because it kind of follows on from where we were. All right. But here today, we are talking about, and we had Jan Rivers from publicgood.org on last week, and I nearly fell off my chair, actually, because I thought I knew what was going on, but I didn't know the half of it. I don't know how deep it had gone, how sinister it is, I struggled to find a word. And we're talking about WPATH, and that is the World Professional, they love that little word, Association for Transgender Health, based in the UK. We have a local version, PATHA. Yeah. I don't have the meaning of that right in front of me right now, but it's basically the same thing, and the P is, again, using the word professional. So the kind of the way I see it, all in it together. This is a coordinated thing. Yep. One of the things that blew me away about what Jan said when we spoke to her is that when it comes to puberty blockers, of course, NHS in the UK stopping that, we per capita, I guess is the term, prescribe times 10 the amount here.
Yep.
We
actually, in that article, the latest article by Dr. Charlotte Paul, about this issue, she said it's 11 times. 11 times.
That blows me away. I didn't think we were that stupid.
We like to think of ourselves as very progressive, but we're just permissive. It's just permissive. We think that I think that the idea is that we're being in the vanguard of some wonderful social change, but actually we're just damaging children.
You've written a piece, I think it's been published on the platform so far, Sex is Real. And you mention, of course, someone who's had in certain circles a bit of profile being here lately, Irish writer Graham Lynham. I think he wrote Father Ted and all those black books and those series. And he's been basically a cancelled comedian. He's getting back into it. So you've referenced him. What made you want to write this piece?
I've been following this issue for about 4 or 5 years now, Paul. And I just try and get as many stories as I can out about it. I mean, I started, when did I start? 2019, I started looking at it, and everything that we're finding out now was there and it was available. And I wrote a story, an 8,000-word story for The Listener, and because they took fright, they didn't publish it for 8 months, and then they got it rewritten to give it a positive trans angle. And they did leave in a story of a desister. And since then, I've struggled to get stories in the media. I really
have. Sorry, they rewrote your story. How does that normally work? How does that work?
I wrote an 8,000-word story. In the end, it was done by Donna Chisholm with, and I was at the bottom, additional reporting by Yvonne Van Dongen.
But originally it was yours.
It was my story, and mine was very critical. It was basically endorses everything that WPATH has discovered, because people in this area, we've known this for ages. It's all the stories, all the evidence has been there that has just been led by activists, and it doesn't make sense. But they took fright, as people do, because I think the editor knew someone who had a trans child who said that this child would be vulnerable, suicidality, blah, blah, blah.
They always play that card, always.
Yeah, they do. And it's not true. And I said, if she'd come to me before the story was published, because I didn't know until the story was published, I could have told her that all the evidence shows that that is actually not true. That is not true. And in fact, it's only after treatment, after they've had surgery and everything, that they are more inclined to suicidality. So it's just not true. However, so I've been following it for ages and ages and trying to write as many stories as I can, anywhere I can, but you know, the media isn't, as you know, they're not accepting stories that have a negative or a critical viewpoint, really. So
actually, yeah, those companies, I can tell you, will fire anyone who is on the wrong side of this. They will kick him out.
I can imagine.
Media companies.
I can imagine.
First-hand
all
knowledge.
The mainstream. And that's, I've written, if you look back, I've written lots of stories about this issue. And it's just, it's been heartbreaking because I've lost faith in my own career with journalists. I've lost faith in the medical profession. It really is quite, the whole chain of trust is broken, really.
I think what came out of those, and what Jan was telling us, out of those World Transgender Association or WPATH, I've got to remember to put the professional in there, papers, leaks, and videos, was, first of all, affirmation is the beginning, the first stage. Now, how could that not be conversion therapy?
Yes, that's right. That's why a number of us opposed the conversion therapy bill. It was fine about, nobody objects to the question about sex and sexuality, but they've added gender to it. So anyone wanting to, let's say your child comes to you and says, I think I'm the opposite sex, and you say, no, I think you need therapy, blah, blah, blah. No, that's not gender affirming. So I thought that bill was really a Trojan horse for the gender.
Well, it was a lie, wasn't it? It was a lie. Let's call it.
It was. And nobody, I mean, there were about 18 MPs who disagreed with it. But of course, that went through as well. And they didn't listen to anything. Most of the submissions were against. But again, that just was pushed through. Yeah.
Some of those papers showed that the people involved in WPATH, the surgeons, broader medical people, and the psychology sort of area were well aware of the problems associated with testosterone, for example, and what puberty blockers did. They knew they were irreversible, not reversible. Yet they sold them as reversible. Watching them talking in these Zoom conferences is just chilling, I would have
Isn't
to say.
Isn't it, though? Isn't it? I know they admit that a 13 and 14-year-old can't really understand what fully reversible means, or losing your fertility. They can't really understand it. It's like talking to a brick wall. They're not even doing biology at school yet. It's just jaw-dropping what they're prepared to accept. And I keep thinking, what is the motivation?
Yeah.
Why are they doing this? And I wonder if it's just that because people were so, you know, when homosexuality was outlawed, or when we weren't so tolerant, maybe people think there is such a thing as trans and that we would do enormous damage. I don't know, but it doesn't make sense to me. To me, you cannot be born in the wrong body. That surely any clinician knows that.
Isn't it hijacking what we would call homosexual outcomes, where, you know, lesbians, gay men. I know plenty of lesbians and gay men who can't, who think this is crazy town as well. In fact, everyone I know in that area. But it was kind of like once that was done and dusted, there was sort of energy somewhere to carry on and find something new to fight some kind of battle, which had actually been won. But then that still doesn't explain the denial of informed consent, of of the right of puberty and adolescence as a basic human right. It's all been suspended. So something's gone off the rails since that time.
It's completely, because it's a denial of reality, isn't it? It doesn't make sense. You can't be born in the wrong body, and you also cannot take medication and have surgery and become the opposite sex. You can become, do some cosplay, but in fact you'll never be the opposite sex, ever. So I just think, how can they expect us to believe this? And so it's been very important, the language in this whole debate. I watch it with interest, because it used to be gender identity disorder, didn't it? But then they said, oh, disorder, that sounds like there's something wrong. So then they call it gender dysmorphia or gender dysphoria, which is discomfort, some sort of discomfort with your body. And now in this latest letter I've got from the Ministry of Health, the word gender incongruence is used.
Oh, that's more of a scientific sort of quantum gravity term.
Yeah, it's to normalize it. They've somehow got to, via language, make it sound like it's logical or that it's a normal thing, it's an actual thing. So I just watch with interest the way they try and shift language, really.
I've seen Michael Schellenberger interviewed in a podcast, and he made that point. He said, the left are brilliant at using language, words. That's the giveaway.
Even the words trans woman, I have to go in my head and I have to go, oh, it's a man who thinks he's a woman. Yeah, because they've got the woman. I'm just confused. You know, and trans man, oh, that's a woman. That's right. You know, as you've got to do a flip of the opposite. So it is. It's all designed to create confusion. That's what it's about.
Okay, so what do you make of the New Zealand situation? What do you say about that? And if people are listening who can make any difference, what would you say to them, given what you know?
Well, I think given that the NHS is banning puberty blockers for people under 18, we should definitely follow suit. Why is there any question about this? But I wrote to the Ministry of Health. Now, the Ministry of Health used to say that puberty blockers were safe and reversible, but they stopped that in September 2022. They still do endorse PATHA guidelines, however. But anyway, they said, in response to this latest information, they said that they're aware that the NHS in England now requires puberty blockers, when used in the context of gender incongruence for people under 18, to be prescribed through their clinical trial process. So they actually don't mention the words what can't be done. They mention to me what can still be done.
So they're still doing a positive spin?
Yeah, they're still doing a positive spin.
Which means that they're all disciples, right?
Yes. I think there's people in there who are activists who will be digging down and thinking, how can we fight this? And you do it via language, and you do it by ignoring some things. And so I fully expect that, even though they say they're conducting their own review of evidence and that's going to be published in coming weeks. Well, yes, that's going to be about, that will give the benefits and potential harms of puberty blockers on clinical and mental health outcomes. Yes. And then he says it's important to note that gender affirming care is broader than just the prescription of hormone inhibiting medicines. People presenting to clinicians with gender incongruence continue to receive care and advice from qualified professionals as they do now.
Qualified? Who says qualified? Qualified with what?
Yeah. Well, but
again, a use of a word. The left are good with the words. Qualified. Yeah. What does that mean?
Qualified professionals. I don't know. A lot of people in PATHA are not medical professionals. But
there's no body of knowledge around this anyway. They've made it up.
No, there isn't. They're making it up as they go along. They're experimenting on children. They're experimenting. It's, medical malpractice on an industrial scale, really.
Jan Rivers wants a Royal Commission of Inquiry. Do you think that's...
That probably would.
But that delays things. This has got to stop today, doesn't it?
It does, really. Actually, what's interesting about this, like they do this review of evidence, they say they're doing at the Ministry of Health. They will be getting advice and input with all the rainbow people, every rainbow community that you care, but they'll never talk to the skeptics. They'll never talk to people like Jan, people who have done research.
Who's a lesbian, by the way. She's a lesbian. So she said she's part of the rainbow community.
But she's not part of the official Inside Out and all these other.
No, that's right. That's the division right there.
Yeah. So they don't take advice, that they only take advice from the transactivists, basically, from the people who are pushing one line, that lived experience, as it were. But they don't look at talk to other people who have got a different point of view. So I am dubious about it. I think there'll still be a pathway for clinicians to still prescribe puberty blockers to children. I do. I'm sure.
Yeah, because they can't let this go.
No, because imagine admitting you've been that wrong.
Well, I mean, they're going to have to. It's going to come.
Yeah.
And it might get pretty ugly if they don't do something about it now.
I know. Last I looked, I think there were 700 children who are on puberty blockers in New Zealand. That's a lot. It's a lot.
There's your state care inquiry in 30 years.
Yes, that's what I think too. Absolutely. And people will be amazed and they'll say, how did it happen? And it happened because with the collusion of the media, the civil service, you know, the medical profession, is totally colluded. Everybody, you can't get another point of view out there.
We can now.
Yes, that's good. It's great.
We've just
it's
done
great
it
that there are alternative
and on the platform
platforms.
And other places. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really, really, I'm really pleased that there are. That I'm actually quite pleased that the media is kind of crashing and burning at the moment. To be honest.
Yeah.
I think they deserve it. If they're not willing to do stories about an issue that impacts on women and children, I mean, it's massive. If they're not willing to do that, then they don't deserve to be in business. They're not, they're not journalists, in my opinion.
It's going to be a developing story, as they say in the news business, Yvonne. So,
yes, it will be.
There'll be more to talk about. Thanks for coming on anyway and telling
pleasure.
Us about where you're at on that after the Sex is Real piece that you've written. It's on the platform. We don't mind mentioning the platform.
That's good. I'll tell you one thing, Paul. I understand from my sources that there's more to come from WPATH.
Yeah, no, we understand too. Yeah, Schellenberger said that.
Good.
What that will be, who knows? But, man, it's going to put pressure on here. It's going to be fascinating to see what happens. Thanks for coming on, Yvonne.
Yeah, my pleasure, Paul. Thank you for having me.
RCR with Paul Brennan. Reality Check Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to RCR, Reality Check Radio. If you like what you're listening to or dislike what you're listening to, either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057. That's 2057. Or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We would love to hear from you, so connect with us today.